brother, brother. I know you've been laying back a long, long time. You've been hanging, but keep hanging, hanging, keep hanging, hanging on. Hang on a little longer, brother, brother, brother. Brother, 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 brother.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock, and next would be Kitchen Table Conversations at 6 p.m. right now, and followed at 7 p.m. by Keeping It Real with Aron. Stay tuned, folks. Again, Kitchen Table Conversation is next.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. Please join us.
Hey, KBOO listeners. This is Nick Deasy, and thank you for tuning in to Keeping It Real. Every first Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. and every fifth Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Members like yourself are what keeps this great show going. If you are not a member now, you can become one by going to kboo.fm. Thank you for tuning in.
Folks, you're listening to KBOO Portland. Kitchen Table Conversation is next. Mary Postawade is not able to be in tonight, so we are re-airing last month's show. So this is November's show. Enjoy.
The world around us, man, is crashing and it's burning. Got me praying to the Lord for better days and deep discernment. I'm not nosy, I'm observant. I acknowledge I ain't perfect. Trying to turn the other cheek and trying to be the bigger person. But it's easier than said. It's all reflecting in my head. No more dwelling on the past and being worried about what's next. It's like I'm on my last breath and with a noose around my neck. And it's an age to reach this age. It really is a blessing. Oppression and depression got me stressing with this lesson. Is God trying to tell me something? If he is, then what's the message? I'm trying to get this money for my brother who's a college kid. Crying to myself like thank the Lord God, he really did it. Leading by example wasn't hard, and plus I dated women. Taught them all I know, and 2 years later, I'm an auntie figure. Now what's the difference if I'm sinning in this contradiction? Trying to right my wrongs, but I go left and miss the whole picture. Hazy vision, cause I'm blazing, hanging in the trenches, praying that I make it. Yes, they're living in the same conditions. That's far-fetching, double-minded, having double standard, double temptation in my face. My kryptonite is damaged. They say, if you knew better, you would do better. But I know I'm still living up and do whatever. My daddy's gone and my mama, she's my backbone. Like every time I fall off, I always go back home. Headed down the road to...
Hello again. It's Mary Postawade with another episode of Kitchen Table Conversations on KBOO 90.7 FM. Last month we had had a pretty powerful show. And I want to, you know, I think Delphine might have... who's my engineer, might have a couple questions. Marshalia is not with us tonight. She's changed her schedule, so she's sleeping. So, oh, I'm sad, but it's just me and Dell. But that's okay. So before I start to talk to Dell about the show last month and get into that, there's a couple things that I learned recently within this last month that I thought were kind of neat, so I figured I'd put it out there because I, you know, I'm 45 and I didn't even know these things, so it was kind of fun to learn. Before that, there's a, I guess, a warning that I'd like to throw out there. When you see a school bus and the lights are flashing, regardless of what way you're going, the rule is if there's not a concrete divider between the two ways going, then you have to stop. The only way you don't is if there's a concrete divider in the middle. And I don't know if a lot of people know that, what the rule is, but when you see a school bus and you see them lights flashing, please stop, because that means the kids are getting on or off the bus. And just for safety, please, you know, pay attention to those kind of things. So I just want to throw that out there. Also, I learned a neat little fact I didn't know. Again, I'm grown and had no clue the difference between a freeway and a highway. And I learned last night what the difference was. So for all of those who may have been a little bit naive when it comes to that, the difference that I learned, and in fact, a couple major differences, is freeways have on and off ramps, and highways don't. They have, like, you know, like a regular street corner that they would turn left or right on. And what else did I learn, about it? Freeways, yeah, there's something else, and I'll remember. But anyway, so last month we had a show that was a bit, it was a little nerve-wracking for me. You know, as you know, those who listen come probably heard me pause in the middle of it, because I was a bit nervous. But you know, it was an important show to me. And for those of you who weren't listening or don't know what I'm talking about, last show I had one of my children's father on air, and not only was he the father of one of my children, he's also my ex-pimp. So I had a unique opportunity to be able to speak with him over the phone, and you know, kind of, I guess, give a different perspective to what I was going through. He spent 15 years in prison, and I kind of wanted to show the then and now of the, you know, the opposite side of my story. So, you know, that's why I did what I did. Plus, it was a healing thing for me also, in a sense. Yeah.
Hey, Mary. Yeah, absolutely. I truly enjoyed the conversation last month, and there was a lot of learnings for me. Well, I mean, I think the first thing I want to say is, like, I think a few of the people that I told to beforehand that this is what you were going to do, I think, like, they had an idea that this was going to be maybe like a confrontation of some kind that was going to be, you know, like, more like, I don't know, like screaming or, you know, like, why did you do this to me, or things right. like that. And you just modeled, you know, like, for all of us. And I knew it was not going to be like that, because I know you, you know. And I know you were focused on trying to help people understand how change happens in human beings. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it was just, you just role model for us, like, how do you have hard conversations with people who have hurt you, mm-hmm. like, in tremendous way. Mm-hmm. And you were really kind, because you didn't share with the people before, and even now, you know, all of the things that have happened to you.
Right.
And you know, you could have put him in a much more vulnerable position, but you didn't. You know, you didn't use your power in any kind of way to put him down. You used it to elevate him. And I want to thank you for that, because I just never knew that I could actually feel for him. While at the same time, I experienced the freedom that came with it for you as mm-hmm. your friend. So I'm also very thankful to have been able to experience this, because as you did not give him the power, and you did not use your power to make him feel like anything, but you let him own to the fact that it wasn't cool what he did.
Right.
You know, and yeah, because, you know, there was this hard moment. Okay, there's this time when he said that even though he was really violent and doing all these things, he still loved women.
Mm-hmm.
And that was hard for me to hear, mm-hmm. you know. But then, you know, the way that you and him moved in this relationship on the air, and how he was absolutely fine with the fact that you became, you know, it was hard for you at one time, and we kind of went to music, and then I called him back, and he was like, that's cool, whatever she needs, whatever time, I'm just here, I'm, you know. The fact that he was able to, like, be humble in that way, I actually started, like, feeling for him, you know, and I was like, wow, he actually might have changed.
Right, right.
I just wanted to say that, you know.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he, yeah, he was a piece of work. But, you know, I feel like, you know, I can't show who I model who I want to be or model the process that, you know, I feel should happen if I act the same way as the product or person or thing that, you know, upset or hurt me. And if I belittle him the way that, you know, people probably thought that I was going to, then that just puts me right where he was when he was belittling me, you know. So I had to put my big girl drawers on and, you know, have this conversation with him, because for, like I said then, for a long time, I was really scared and I didn't know what to do when he was going to come around. And he was a big fear of mine, and I really don't have too many fears. So for me to have that conversation with him, it was very healing for me. And it showed me that, you know, I do have a voice and I can, you know, at least speak for myself now where I couldn't before, or I could have, but I didn't, whatever the situation may be. But, you know, I'm glad that it turned out the way that he did. I wasn't trying to put him on here to bash him or to make him feel some kind of way. But I wanted the listeners to understand that even though the situation between me and him wasn't necessarily a good, quote, good situation, people can change, you know? And I have to give him the benefit of the doubt to be able to change too, if I can give myself the benefit of the doubt, you know? And if I can't do that, then everything that I'm, you know, trying to say and all of the work that I try to do is not worth anything. So, you know, that's why I tried to, you know, let him know, hey, no, it's not even about that. You know, I'm beyond that. I already went through my pain and my anger and, you know, my name calling and, you know, he's this and he's the devil. I've already been through the years of torture and torment in my head of what might happen. I already went through all those phases, you know, and now I'm at the phase where I got to move on. I have to mentally let this go. And for him to be able to come onto the show and say some of the things he said, it surprised me. I was kind of shocked at some of the things that he said, and it made me feel like, you know, well, he does see. You know, he can see what he did and what he didn't do.
What are some of the things he said that made you feel that way?
Well, really when he apologized, you know, that's something I did not expect at all. He's a very strong man, you know, strong-willed. And it's like to hear him own his own mistakes and apologize for those, that, and, you know, one thing he taught me is you're never sorry. You always apologize. So, you know, I don't want to say, you know, he's sorry, because sorry can be taken differently. You know, it can be taken in another way. So for him to apologize to me, wow, it was like different. That was really different, you know. But again, it opened my eyes to show me that, you know, maybe he is starting to learn, or, you know, maybe he learned when he was in prison, however it happened. It's there. The seed was planted and it's growing. And that's the important thing, you know. And he still has a long way to go, just like I do and anybody else. And the fact that he knows what he needs to work on still within himself, and he knows where it's hard for him. You know, where the point comes that he's going to need some help working. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That was the part also that I really liked when he talked about his issue is control.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's, you know, I mean, that takes a lot to admit that
oh, yeah,
he wanted to have control over another human being. And then he said, now I have a partner and I've learned a new word, compromise.
Compromise, right. Yep, that was another thing.
Yeah.
You know, and he was very much the controlling the one in the relationship. But yeah, and for him to say that, and for then even to go as far as, even though he could have dominated the conversation, most definitely, but he let me, and he let me take control of that, and that was completely different also. So for that's another change that wasn't there before, you know. However it came about, however it got put in his head, it was there, and that's the important thing. So, yeah.
And then, I have two other great moments. Okay, one of my favorite moments is when he actually found joy in the small things, like going to the grocery store. Yes. I was like, now I do really exciting things like watch football on TV and go to the grocery store, because it didn't used to be that kind of lifestyle. And he enjoys it. And I thought that was just so funny.
And that's true, because, you know, when you live in the lifestyle that we were living, it's very fast. And even a grocery store trip is like in, out, real quick. It's not, you don't go rolling around the aisles and, oh, you want this and maybe this is good, let's read. You don't do that. It's real quick, a lot of fast food. So when he said that, I was like, wow, the first thing that popped in my head was this old man who, you know, is like having fun going grocery shopping, all happy.
That is exactly what I was thinking about.
Right. And so for him to, that's another thing. He can actually take pleasure in those things where he didn't before. And, you know, it's a different world for him. So I'm glad that he's growing and that he's experiencing new things that may not necessarily be new to me or you, but something as small and trivial as going grocery shopping is something that, you know, is amazing for him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So. Which, you know, I've been joking about, like, what would be a great way to, like, be less bored in life, you know, just like
go grocery shopping.
Exactly. With tea. Okay. And then, of course, like, the most beautiful moment for me was, and I hate that Marcella is not here, but I've told her that in person, is, you know, the fact that she was somewhat reluctant in coming and being part of it, because, you know, she just kind of understood the heaviness of mm-hmm. it, and also some of the consequences on your anxiety level and your mental health. And I just love that she was able to tell you and to say right there on the air that, you know, she is the one who helps you and picks up the pieces whenever, you know, maybe hard things are going on. Mm-hmm. And you are able to hear her and thank her for being there for you, but also explain to her why that was important for you. And right there in live radio, she just grew and she was like, you're right, Mom. Thank you. It was really important. This was a great conversation, you know, and that just, you know, all made me, you know, just realize how valuable kitchen table conversation is, and how you and Marcella just continue to just role model for us how to, you know, just have healthy relationship as a mom and a daughter with very, very complex issues that you're dealing with. You know, this is just more than just like, oh, we just argued over who is doing the dishes, you know. Mm-hmm. This is like really, really life things that are deep, and trauma that's just really, really hard, you know. And the fact that you are making yourself vulnerable on the radio for me, you know, just makes me just feel, you know, just so privileged to be a part, you know, of your life and of this conversation, and
well, thank
to be
you.
Your friend.
Thank you. And yeah, we had talked about that yesterday, I believe it was, when we went grocery shopping.
We did.
We went grocery shopping.
Did we enjoy it? I don't know.
Right. But yeah, it, you know, and I know when she said that, I know that, you know, she is the one that's there when my mental health falls or something happens and it triggers me. She's the one that's there to pick me up. And that's true. And, you know, I completely understand where she's coming from. But in the same note, like you said, you know, this was something I needed to do. And it was a healing process for me and a learning process for all of us, you know. And I'm different because of it, you know. And
I know, I feel it. I felt it that night, Mary.
For some, they don't see it. They don't know. But for me, I'm a different person now that I've had that show. Because now I know that it's okay. And I knew that anyway, but now it's more concrete. I know I can do it.
Yeah, it's clear he doesn't have the power anymore.
Right.
The control.
Right. And I know that now my whole life is mine again, you know? And that's the important lesson there, is I feel like I've gained power back over myself fully. Mm-hmm. And that's exceptional. And Marcella noticed that. And
yeah, when you walked out of my car that night, you just were walking differently.
Yeah, you know, it's been a long time and a long, hard road for me. And I, you know, I went through a lot, not just with him, but in the whole, you know, situation. I went through a lot. And even now, people in my life, they don't understand because they've never had to deal with things like that. But, you know, it's okay for them not to understand, and if they really want to know, they'll ask me, you know, and I don't have a problem with talking about whatever's gone on. But all these years, as strong as I've tried to keep, there's always been that element, that the fear, you know, and I couldn't let go of that because I was fearful. It was real for me. And so
yeah, but now it's clear that he doesn't want anything bad.
No, he doesn't.
To you.
And he's never
to
ever
anybody else. Yeah.
It's never been like that before. So, you know, never have I ever heard those positive type words coming from him like that. So now I will say that does not make me want to, like, you know, we can be whatever we are now, but other than that, it's good. I've been there, done that. But however, it is, you know, good to know that he too is learning and growing and being able to own up to what he's done and, you know, and try to make amends as best as he can. You can't change what's happened, but you can always make your future better. And I'm glad to hear that he's done good. And yeah, it made me feel really good to have that conversation and to get it out, and to in a positive way, in a way that wasn't yelling and screaming and accusing and, you know, pointing fingers and getting mad and, you know, nothing gets settled that way. So, oops. So, that was me hitting the microphone, by the way. So, yeah.
Because you're talking with your hands like
I
me.
Do talk with my hands.
And so have you heard from him since?
I have.
Did he share anything about that experience?
He told me he enjoyed being on the show. He said anytime I want to do it again, he will. He's willing to. I haven't really talked about how he's felt personally with it because we don't, our communication is kind of, you know, we don't have a lot of communication between each other. But
on the air is good.
Yeah. You know, and maybe that'll change just because of the fact that, you know, we're both grown up now, I guess you could say. Who knows what happens in the future? I just know how I feel right now, and I feel a lot better, and I feel more vindicated, I guess you could say, or whatever the word may be. But I feel like I can breathe better. You know, that weight has been lifted off of me and that fear has been turned into a positive light. And that's great for me. You know, that makes me feel really good. But don't get me wrong. There's always that lingering doubt in the back of my head, you know, and
yeah, you have that history with him.
Right. And
it's real.
It just comes from the trauma and all of the things that happened. And, you know, even though I can forgive, I'll never forget. You know, and the only way for somebody to move forward in their lives is to forgive. You don't have to forget. It's never going to leave your mind. It's always going to be there. But you can't hold it in your heart. You just can't do it because it causes so much pain to you and so much anger and frustration and all of the extracurricular things that come with that negativity. And it weighs down on you. And it changes your life, literally. And so, you know, to have all that gone is great, you know.
Yeah, it is great.
Yeah, it is. So maybe in the future we'll have other conversations with him or other people, you know, that may have been involved with that whole situation. And I don't know if we'll get into more depth with it or whatnot, but which would be fine with me too. I didn't get into too much depth with him that time. Just simply because, you know, I wasn't trying to put him out there like that. Not that it's a secret, but I just, this wasn't to condescend him or make him feel some kind of way. It was just for information. And just so that people can hear the other side of the story. There's always three sides to a story, you know, they say.
Yeah.
Then there's in the truth. Right. So, you know, but
yeah.
So, yeah.
I do have a song pulled up if you wanted to do Ordinary People, and also I found the young lady that you you were talking about.
Yeah, let's listen to her. Her name.
Okay.
Yeah. Her name, I don't want to get it wrong, but I want to say it's
Flage. And so she was on America's Got Talent?
Yes.
Yeah. So that is the clip that I have.
Okay. So this girl, I had actually, and you know, I don't necessarily watch that show, but I had was going through the TV, and it was her that was on there. And they were talking about the violence, the gun violence, and, you know, things like that. So I listened. They said she had an original song, and I believe it was written to her father. I'm not for sure. I can't remember if it was her father or brother, but it got my heart. So here's Flage. I hope that's right. And it's called Put Your Guns Down.
Welcome. Who are you?
I'm Flage.
That's a cool name. Where are you from?
I'm from Savannah, Georgia.
And how old are you?
I'm 14.
14?
Wow.
Okay. And who are you here with today?
I'm here with my mom.
So why have you decided to come on America's Got Talent?
First off, I'm a rapper. I rap. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I started off because before I was born, my father, he was a rapper.
Yeah.
And he died before I was born, so he couldn't really fulfill his dream, so that's what I'm here to do.
For him. Good.
And this is something which you've written yourself?
Yes, I wrote it. I was scared. I was like, I don't know if I should put this out because I don't know if they're ready yet.
Well, if you feel passionate about it, this is exactly what you should be doing.
Yes.
Okay, so good luck with rooting for you.
Thank you. And if he would have put that gun down, then they would have been here right now. If he would have put that gun down. Listen. Do you know what it's like to not have a father? No one to talk to when you get mad at your mama. I know you ain't gonna pick up the phone, I still call you. The reason that it hurts so bad, I never saw you. The way my grandma be acting, it got me losing hope. I swear to God, I hate to see her on and off the coke. She said, baby girl, this is just the way I cope. Man, all this weight up on my shoulders trying to stay afloat. But nah, I don't want your sympathy. I'm just telling y'all, this was really, really meant for me. This industry, that's why the labels and the TV shows, yeah, they keep on hitting me. And mama was struggling trying to keep the lights on. And I had some snakes in my grass, yeah, those pythons. It's hard to see the silver lining when the light's off. But I know one day that I'm gonna be an icon, yeah. So I gotta keep pushing. People still hating on me, at least I know that they looking. And they see me coming up, so they peek through the bushes. But I'm just trying to raise awareness for the people that's looking. And yeah, if he would've put that gun down, then he would've been here right now. If he would've put that gun down, then she would've been here right now. And if he would've put that gun down, then they would've been here right now. If he would've put that gun down. Everybody put your guns down.
Okay, and we're back. This is Kitchen Table Conversations. That was Flage with her America's Got Talent, tryout or whatever they call it. I picked that for a reason, because most of the time when you hear the shows that I do, we talk a lot about the school shootings and things that have gone on. And recently, there's been a lot of shootings here in our area. And that rap, that girl hit me in my heart with that, knowing that she sang that for her father, she rapped that for her father, whom she never met. And because of the gun violence, that's why he's dead. And, you know, it shows you that our younger generation, you know, they're hurting. They're seeing their friends and their families die for reasons that are unnecessary. And I felt like everybody needed to hear that because it's so powerful. And she was 14 years old. And to hear her young mind think the way it was thinking and to, you know, be able to articulate the way she felt about what happened, I feel like more young people could find that avenue to be able to maybe do the same thing for themselves. So that's why I had her play that. You know, if you didn't get to listen to it, she was on America's Got Talent. I'm not sure exactly what day, but you can look it up on America's Got Talent. She's a wonderful little girl. I hope that she goes far in life.
Yeah, this was pretty recent.
Yeah.
It seems, yeah.
I think it was like the last show or the show before that.
And I just found that on YouTube by just typing up her. Her name is spelled F-L-A-U apostrophe G-A-E.
Yes. And
Flage. We said it right.
J-A-E.
J-A-E, you're
yeah.
right.
Flage. So yeah, and you know, honestly, it's not often that something like that I take to heart. You know, I'm not a big rap person, but when I heard this and the message behind it, I had to share it with everybody. It just was so powerful. I just loved that little rap that she made. So, you know, if anybody out there and it gets to her, Flage, I hope you go somewhere one day and you are going to be the icon that you want to be. So there it is there from Kitchen Table Conversations on KBOO FM 90.7. Okay. So we have a visitor. Christopher came in. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. I invited him to come in if he wanted to come in and sit in the studio with me while I talked, because my daughter is not here. She's sleeping, so.
Are you still recording?
Oh, yeah. I'm on air.
Oh, okay.
It's all good.
Shall I get...
You can if you want to. You can chime in anytime you want. So, you know, I'm not a political person, and I wasn't really following the races per se, and I don't know whether or not the things passed or not. But I would like to know if anybody knows if the measures passed or didn't pass, or what the outcomes of the race, besides the governor's race. I know how that went. You can call in and let me know, because I don't know, and I would like to know. Let me see. What else? Oh, the immigrant law. Yeah, I want to know what other people think about that. Me and my daughter were talking about this, and God, Trump is he's such a hypocrite. The immigration thing. What, you know, I'm going to ask you, Christopher, what do you think this sounds like? He's saying that if you are born here and your parents were not, and they're immigrants here and they're not legal or whatever, that you cannot be a citizen, even though you're born here. What do you think? Do you think he has the power to do that?
Man. That guy, you know what, he does those executive orders like you did on Standing Rock and just letting that pipeline going through, mm-hmm. even though the pipeline was illegal to begin with. And he don't care, man. And, you know,
he's going to try.
Yeah, because he's like really paranoid against people of color, you know, because his insecurity, that's what whiteness is about, you know.
Right.
Being white, you feel insecure, white fragilities. And, you know, it's like now, you know, they think that he's scared of people, mm-hmm. people of color.
And, you know, I think it's hypocritical because, you know, his wives were immigrants and illegal in the beginning. And I just think that you're contradicting himself. That's what it is. He's contradicting himself. And I brought the immigration law up because, you know, me and my family, we have an integrated family, and a lot of my daughter's friends are Hispanic, and some of them come from families who, you know, immigrated here. Some of them may not be legal per se or whatever, or in the process. And, you know, there's real fear out there for these young people who come from parents who aren't legal, but they were born here. There's fear out there now. There's kids running around and scared. They're afraid that they're going to be, you know, taken away from their parents or whatever. And, you know, in my opinion, he's creating more chaos than not by signing this order. So I hope it doesn't go through. I don't know if it did, but I hope it doesn't.
Man, I can just imagine those people that were born here, those kids, you know, it's like...
Right. This is what they've known. This is their home, you know. Yeah. I mean...
I've seen documentaries of people that were deported back to, you know, their homelands and stuff like that, and a lot of them are just, like, pretty much just lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one guy goes over to the wall where he's a Vietnam vet or something like that, Iraq vet. Then he goes over to that wall, and he just stands there, and he stares, and on the other side is, you know, it's like his wife and family, and everybody's over there, and he's over here, you know. It's, like, pretty heartbreaking to me.
It is very heartbreaking, you know. And I believe in the people. I hope that my belief is right, and they won't let that pass, because it's just outrageous to me. I want to jump on something a little bit more positive real quick. Thanksgiving is around the corner. You know, I think it's the 22nd this month. But I have a couple tips for people out there, because I found myself in the last couple, I mean, maybe two Thanksgivings, I found myself ill-prepared for dinners and things like that. So I have a couple quick tips for those out there going the week. So, you know, right now you have quite a bit of time to get what you need to get done for Thanksgiving. So in my opinion, and here's my tips for this first week or the rest of this first week, take it to make your lists of everything that you're going to need, your guests, your food, you know, where you want to put everything, how you want to cook everything. You know, make sure you've got all the utensils that you're going to need, things like that. Go and get your food. Go get everything prepared, you know. And then in the second week, things that can be, you know, I like to marinate some of my meats for at least 24 to 48 hours sometimes. So you can do all that in that last, you know, week and a half or so. You can start making the preparations for all of that. You know, make sure you've got to move your furniture around because you have a lot of people. Then get that taken care of. Make sure all your pre-food things are done, like your slices are cut, your wedges are cut for your salads, you know, your lettuce is torn up or whatever you decide to do. And then, you know, a couple days before time, you can prepare things like the pasta for your macaroni salads if you make that, or the potatoes for your potato salad.
Man, you're making me hungry.
Man, I'm hungry. You know, so then that way, when the day comes and it's Thanksgiving, you don't have to worry about running out and grabbing something that you forgot to do, because you've already had this 2.5 or so weeks to prepare for it. So, you know, don't put your stuff off till the very last minute, I guess is what I'm saying. Be prepared. I am going to be prepared this time, and I was told to bring a turkey, so I will be bringing the turkey this year. So, yes, turkey for this year. Last year, the turkey wasn't done in time, so we were kind of bummed about that, but, you know, it is what it is. I don't hold Thanksgiving at my house. We go to Grandma's house. You know, she's usually the one that does all the cooking, but lately I've been finding myself having to cook.
And sometimes then, I go down to the Art Institute on Christmas, or, you know, go over to St. Francis, you know, on Thanksgiving, you know, mm-hmm. It's like they always need volunteers and stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that. That'd be a good place for me to take my son.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs those life lessons. Yeah. So, yeah. So those are my little quick tips for Thanksgiving. I don't know how many people out there celebrate Thanksgiving, but I just kind of go to Grandma's house because it's Thanksgiving and she cooks food.
Yeah, I just go down there myself because I don't have family here, you know. If I had family here, if my kids were here or something, man, I'd probably go do something. But
yeah.
Since there's only just me,
yeah,
I go down there, hang out, and, you know.
Absolutely, I would too.
Because of the energy, you know. It's like, who wants to stay home by themselves, you know, on a Thanksgiving or a Christmas? You know?
Yeah.
Something going on out there, man. I try to be out there. And,
absolutely.
You know, and try not to think about it, you know.
Absolutely. That's another thing that I wanted to talk about. It's the holiday season, and, you know, with the holiday season comes a lot of depression for people, and I want to talk about that because, you know, one of my disabilities is manic depressive, so, you know, I understand what it's like to go through that. And the holiday season comes and, you know, people feel hopeless. There's people out there, they feel like they can't do things for their kids, you know, they don't have the right resources or whatever it may be. And, you know, I want people to know that me and my family have started something new. And I did this because I try to teach my children gratefulness. We don't do Christmas like a traditional Christmas. What we've decided to do is at the beginning of the year, every year, we get a traditional Christmas stocking or a regular sock that's long, and we put just things that we would want to give, you know, my sister or my daughter, or just little things. And it doesn't have to be store-bought. It can be things that you've made. You know, people go and they have those little rocks that they paint, put little messages on it, and you find them. I found one of those. You could put one of those in there. You know, just little things for memories and things like that. And you put them in the stocking, and that's what you do. And when you open the stocking or the sock, the things that are in there mean things. And then you have that space to have the positive conversation with your family without having to worry about spending a lot of money, without having to worry about, you know, well, I didn't get this and I didn't get that, because it shows your kids that, you know, you don't have to have a lot of money to be grateful for the things that you have. You know, some people practice when their children open up their toys, then it's time for them to take one of their gifts and gift it to somebody else. And that shows them sharing and things like that. So, you know, whatever kind of little, you know, I don't know. I do the Christmas thing like that. Not, I can't even say it's Christmas. The New Year thing. And it brings in the New Year, and it shows you the positivity of the past year or however long that you've been around your friends and quote-unquote family.
Well, makes them appreciate family, because a lot of kids, you know, don't have family out there.
Absolutely. And like I said, though, family... blood doesn't make you family. It does not. Blood makes you related. It does not make you family. Love makes you family.
Right.
Acceptance makes you family. Trust and
it's
honesty.
It's not about the stockings and all that. It's more about the love.
It's about the love, and it's about the memories. And, you know, some people will think, oh, no, that's not right. But those are the people that need the lesson. You know, those are the people that need to be grateful for the things that they have. You know, the clay ashtray that, you know, you got 2 years ago from your kindergartner that is sitting on top of something gathering dust. You know, he might want to take that so you can remember. He's a little first grader now. He wants to come and show you, this is what I made for you. You never use it. Makes you appreciate the fact that he made you a little clay ashtray that you just put away and didn't even think about until he said, Mom, what did you do with that clay ashtray? Here it is.
I remember when I was a kid, I was growing up on the Dene Navajo Res. I was in a boarding school, and every, you know, like before school is out, they always had these one day where you can in your church, whatever church you had, it was mandatory to go to church on Sunday. I don't know, Seventh Day Adventist, Christian Reform, Catholic, Jehovah Witness, Mormonism, you know, all those, man. The federal boarding school had it, you know. And I used to get in this line, and I got tired of just getting like a little small sack from, you know, my mom signed me up as a Catholic. I don't even know what it was. You know, I didn't even know the difference between the religions and stuff. One thing I knew was on Christmas was that the Christian Reform gave bigger sacks of candy, man. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, you know what? I'm going to go over there instead of being
a Christian.
Catholic. Yeah.
I'm a Christian. I'm not a Catholic.
Mm-hmm. That's what I remember as a little kid, but. You know, there's a lot of Native kids, you know, they like, especially Pine Ridge, they're always like having these toy drives,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was in school, when I was in elementary school, I was really big on that. You know, I wanted to, my dad worked for this company that made like plastic, the little plastic beads that you make milk jugs and stuff like that with.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come in these big, huge crates or bins. They're round bins and they're big. And I would have my dad bring them from work so that I could take them to my school and have people donate stuffed animals and things like that so that I could take them to, you know, the hospitals or whatever.
Put a big smile on those kids.
It did. And, you know, I've always been that kind of person. So when my kids were growing up, you know, when they were younger, I'd like to give them a nice Christmas. They were happy and whatever. And then as they started to learn and get older, it started to get smaller and smaller and smaller. And now that they're older, my son is 16, and you know, yeah, the whole Christmas thing, we don't celebrate Christmas like that. You know, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, have some food, you know, whatever. But the whole monetary part of it is what we've cut out. Because, yeah, we could go out there and do that, sure. But, you know, my kids have what they need. They have all the things that they like. They, you know, in my family, my daughter likes to say that Christmas is every day. Because no matter what, it's gonna happen. You know, my son wants something. It might not happen that day, but we're going to work hard to get whatever it is.
Leave the Christmas tree up and the lights outside on.
That's funny because I have a friend who still has her Christmas tree up from last year. I'm like, oh my goodness. That's hilarious. I've done that one time. I left my tree because it was so pretty. It was just it was when I first got my first artificial tree. And I decorated it with white and gold. It was a white tree. And it was so pretty, and I had bows. And by the time the end of the year came, it wasn't so pretty anymore. All the bows had been falled off. The dog got to part of the tree. The cat done attacked the candy canes. And oh yeah, it was horrible. But yeah, that was
my cat
thing.
Used to live on the Christmas tree. He stayed up there between the tree branches.
He's like, I'm gonna stay right here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, when I've been on my own, I didn't get regular Christmas trees because, you know, I'm lazy and I didn't want to pick up after them. You know, all the needles and stuff that fell, that would drive me crazy. Like, it would drive me absolutely nuts to have to pick those things up. So I decided to get an artificial tree. And then it was like, ooh, you don't like real trees. I'm like, yeah, but go ahead and clean your mess up. So I don't have to.
A couple of years ago, I was at the art museum. I was giving away dog food and, you know, like, these stores donated all kinds of like dog food and, you know, dog toys, you know, the little toys that they, and then harnesses and leashes. And yeah, if you have a dog, go down there, you know, and
then
they give you a bag of dog cat food too. Mm-hmm. They even had a lot of stuff for cats.
Do they give you food? My dog doesn't eat dog food. I'm trying to get her to.
Like real food?
Like, she refuses to eat dog food. Yeah, I feed her chicken breast and ham hocks.
I'd probably eat some turkey.
I feed her chicken breast or whatever without the bone, mm-hmm. and ham hocks and ham shank and carne asada meat. She's spoiled rotten. She eats better than I do.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff over there for animals. I mean, by the time it was done, I still had a lot of stuff too. I started giving people two or three of them, man. Say,
oh, hey, yeah.
Take all these.
We're
going to close here in about 30 minutes and we still have all this stuff right here.
Oh, man. You know how some people are like a big shoe person or whatever, whatnot? And I collect for my dogs, you know, leashes and collars, matching leashes and collars. And it's just this thing for me. I don't know what it is, but I just got to get her different. You know, new leash and collar. Oh, it's a new set. Woo! Yay! So I get all excited and whatever, whatnot. When she gets a new leash and a collar, I'm all happy. And she's all waiting. Yeah. She don't know what the hell I'm talking about. You know.
Yeah, it was a very interesting experience sitting there. You know, I was like, man, I was just seeing all these homeless people mm-hmm. who had dogs and going in there, you know. And
yeah. Sometimes I wonder how, you know, but how they take care of their animals when you are homeless. But then I got my dog and I'm not homeless, but the way that she eats my food, I'm like, oh, well, I'll just share my food with her because she refuses to eat dog food, absolutely refuses to eat dog food. And she loves, you know, I give her a brand new ham hock and she'll go and find a bone that she done chewed on and buried, you know, a week and a half ago. Instead of eating the brand new ham hock that I gave her, she'll go bury it somewhere and then eat the bone that she had before. And then, like, in the next week, then go find her ham hock and eat it. I'm like, ooh, you're gross. Why would you do that? That's disgusting. But that's how she does it. And I'm like, ooh, I guess. Okay, so now I guess I can understand how people can feed their dog when they're on the streets because they just eat regular food. You know, just eat whatever.
Yeah, go to take out some food from the shelters.
Yeah, they have a program or a commercial that keeps coming on. It's about like the ugly foods, the foods that restaurants and stuff don't use.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, it's a like one of them little food carts, and it's called junk food. And so that's what attracts people. Junk food, boo, on the side of the thing. And under the plate of food, after you eat all the food, there's a message on there saying that this food was, you know, going to be thrown away, or, you know, was no good to so such and such restaurants. And they're like, this was not good food. And they're like, no. So they show a carrot that's like bent, and it's, you know, it grows straight, and then it turns to left, and then and it's just not pretty. But it's a perfectly good carrot. It's just not pretty. So that's what they use to make the food. And I'm watching these commercials. I see it pop up, and I'm like, I want to go get ugly fruit. I want to go get ugly fruit and ugly vegetables. That's what I want to buy now. I don't even want to buy regular fruit and vegetables. I want to go get the ugly fruit and vegetables.
That's what I'll be doing tomorrow.
Yeah?
Yeah, over at the Quest. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's on Burnside. Whole Foods donates all these outdated, you know, like food, or if it's going outdated that day, you know, or the vegetables, kind of like, even the, you just have to cut off the side of that.
Right.
And then tomorrow night, we're having a community night where we feed the community and the clients, the people that go to that clinic. And I just go there and cut the vegetables and cut off all these bad parts. And I, you know, get crates from Whole Foods and bring them over. It's like a half a block away. And we dump it over there, and whatever's left, you know, like foods, breads or whatever, we just leave them outside for people to come by and take them. And they're pretty good stuff, too. You know, Whole Foods gives away organic, what do you call that, gluten-free breads, and, you know, it's like,
well, you figure, you know,
whole grain bread, wheat breads.
I go shopping, and I get my little vegetables, and I put them in the refrigerator, and maybe I don't use them right away. You know, maybe it takes a week or so, and then there might be a little spot on it that's getting kind of soft. I just cut it off. You know, I mean, it's an ugly, now, I'm not going to say, oh, I don't want to use that whole red pepper because it's got a soft spot. You know, I mean, so, you know, that's another thing that I want to start doing. It's the wasting of the food. You know, I am so big on don't waste food, because I've been hungry before. I've been like hungry, not just, oh, I'm hungry, I'm not full. No, I've been hungry.
These stores, they've been throwing away a lot of food.
Yes.
They should be like donating it to like poor people or
absolutely,
you know, homeless shelters and stuff like that.
Or even have a program where you can cook it, you know, just cook the food and then, you know, give it. If you don't want to put the food out or whatever, you know, maybe give it to a restaurant that can cook it up real quick and give it to the community or something, you know, instead of wasting it. So
that's what we need all our like our frontline warriors to be out there, you know,
absolutely,
with a lot of intelligence, you know, that, you know, lawyers, guild, or, you know, just common people, you know, protesting, setting something up with the city, you know, like, hey, man, maybe we can get this law passed where people just don't throw away food.
Absolutely.
You know?
Because, I mean, I can understand if it's really gross, but, you know, there's a lot of food that gets wasted. Oh, my goodness, so much. And so many people could be fed by it. You know, and good stuff. Stuff that I wouldn't even be able to afford to buy. You know, or anybody, you know. We're talking about good things. I don't shop at Whole Foods. I can't afford that. I cannot afford the whole organic thing. And I can't afford that. So, I mean, yeah, I want it too. You know, and quit throwing it away.
I like the wheat breads and the whole grain breads because, you know, I'm a diabetic. So
my son likes that kind of stuff,
I'm kinda
too.
I'm kind of, like, forced to buy, you know, like, expensive groceries just to, you know, not get keep from getting diabetes, you know?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
they want you to eat good, but then they label
$5 for just a little piece of apple, you know?
Right.
Jeez.
Right, but you pay 50 cents for a candy bar. I mean, you know. Yeah. So, well, it's about 6 minutes before I go. I just want to put a couple things out there in people's ears. You know, we need to start loving one another, and we need to remember that our earth is, you know, this is, it's like our feet. This is our earth is our stand, our stability, and we're killing it slowly but surely, even faster nowadays. So let's be mindful of the things that, you know, we throw away, the types of things that we put in our trash, the types of foods that we throw away. You know, let's be mindful of the people around us. If you know that you're one of those people that ends up throwing away a lot of things. Maybe one day a week or twice a week, take those things that you would normally throw away and make a soup and go give it to a homeless person, or go give it to somebody, a youth on the street that you know doesn't have somewhere to go or is hungry, or donate them to a school. You know, NEA, they make their own food. They don't run on the Portland Public School food thing, so they have to make their own food. So, you know, maybe donate it to them or something, or get a your neighbors or whatever to make a meal one day and go to a school and feed the children there, or something along those lines, instead of just throwing it away. Another thing, your bones, when you have meat, your bones are very, very valuable. You know, you can take those bones and break them in half and boil them and get the marrow out of them, and it's very nutritious and it's really good. You can use that, the bone marrow and stuff, for gravies and soups and, you know, even dressings for your salads and other meats. So that's another way that you can not waste things. You know, just take those and make the broth out of it. You can freeze it, you know, and you can use that broth for all kinds of different stuff. You know, maybe pay attention to the things that you buy. Like, you know, I like to eat deep fried shrimp, but I make my own. Instead of going and buying it for $10 a box, I go and I use pancake mix, and I mix up some pancake mix, and I dip my shrimp and I fry it up, and I got the exact same thing, you know. Put a little paprika in it. It's good. So those are a little bit of things that you can do to cut down on the waste that we have and help the environment a little bit. You know, use reusable bags, things along those lines. Stop throwing trash in the water. You know, all those different things. And, you know, a little bit goes far when we all do something small. You know, it doesn't have to be huge. You don't have to be, you know, humanitarian of the year all the time. Just the little differences make a difference. You know, the little things do. So remember that and love one another, and, you know, pay attention to our youth, because they're our future. And, you know, oh, and by the way, hopefully to all my listeners, I might be having a class at POIC. So I'm excited. Yay. A life skills class. So we'll see how that goes. So that's being said, with all that, I want to bid you guys an adieu, good night, and everyone out there, love one another. This is Kitchen Table Conversations on KBOO 90.7 FM.
A lot of stuff's been heavy on my mind and heavy on my chest lately, so... Look at the world around us, man, it's crashing and it's burning. Got me praying to the Lord for better days and deep discernment. I'm not nosy, I'm observant. I acknowledge I ain't perfect. Trying to turn the other cheek and trying to be the bigger person. But it's easier than said, it's all reflecting in my head. No more dwelling on the past and being worried about what's next. It's like I'm on my last breath and with a noose around my neck. And it's A and A to reach its A's, it really is a blessing. Oppression and depression got me stressing with this lesson. Is God trying to tell me something? If he isn't, what's the message? I'm trying to get this money for my brother who's a college kid. Crying to myself like, thank the Lord God, he really did it. Leading by example wasn't hard, and plus I dated women. Taught them all I know, and 2 years later, I'm an auntie figure. Now what's the difference if I'm sinning in this contradiction? Trying to right my wrongs, but I go left and miss the whole picture. Hazy vision, cause I'm blazing, hanging in the trenches, praying that I make it. Yes, they're living in the same conditions. That's far-fetching, double-minded, having double standard, double temptation in my face. My kryptonite is damaged. They say, if you knew better, you would do better. But I know I'm still living up and do whatever. My daddy's gone and my mama, she's my backbone. Like every time I fall off, I always go back home. Headed down the road of truth or death up in my rear view. It's time to make a change, the end of days is coming up soon. Raised to be a Christian, but was bred to be a goon. Was taught from the streets, but I never learned from school. Now it's time to pay my dues with my head held high. Cause in reality, we all just living to die. So I'm 10 toes down, trying to steer from my demise. Steadily claiming that I'm through, but you can see it in my eyes.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7 o'clock, and next is Keeping It Real. Stay tuned, folks.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring a development director. This 32-hour-a-week position